From the bookshelf of the world, we present The Government Inspector, or The Inspector General. Yes, today's story, From the Bookshelf of the World, has had many titles in the course of its translation. But if we were to give it a name, we'd call it Designed for Laughter, because that is what this truly great Russian comedy could be called. But for the sake of introduction, we'll go along with The Inspector General. Later, I'm sure you'll agree with our title. The Government Inspector, or The Inspector General, was written by one of the world's greatest laugh makers, Nicholas Vasilievich Gogol, and it's a brilliant satire on corrupt bureaucracy. It was received by the intelligentsia of Gogol's day with enthusiasm and with horror by the ruling politicians. But as you'll hear, it is an error to look upon its historical and political significance as its principal claim to rank among the great European comedies. Even when played in a language other than its native Russian, it is recognized as pure and universal comedy. And as such, the Armed Forces Radio Service presents The Inspector General.
The time and place, a small Russian town, about the year 1836. The scene, the living room of the mayor's home, where the town officials have gathered hastily in response to an urgent message from the mayor.
Gentlemen, I have called you here because I have some very unhappy news for you. There is a government inspector general coming here.
Inspector general.
From the capital, with secret instructions and traveling incognito.
Oh, he's up to no good.
As if we have not enough to worry us already.
Yes, yes, yes. But why? Why is he coming here?
It's fate, I suppose. I had a presentiment of it to tell you. Last night I dreamt of two most extraordinary rats.
What does it all mean?
Yes, what does it
here,
mean?
Here, let me read you this letter. From Andre, my dear kind old friend. I hasten to warn you that an official has arrived to make inspection of the whole province.
Oh.
Now, I know that you, like everyone else, are not without your little transgressions. I advise you to look out, as he may arrive at any moment if he is not already living in your town, incognito, as a mere traveler.
Incognito.
It must have a political motive.
However, I've warned you now. I plan to be on my guard and take at once certain steps as to things under my jurisdiction. I warn you all to do the same in your departments. Especially you, our manager of hospitals.
Me?
Yes, you. He will probably want to see your place first. Make everything look decent. Particularly, I advise you to put clean gowns on your patients. They always look as if they'd been through a blacksmith shop.
Well, I'll look to it.
And try to see that there are not so many of them. It'll look bad for our doctor.
Very well, very well.
And as for you, our learned judge, it is not proper for you to raise geese in the anteroom of the court. They're constantly underfoot. I've meant to speak to you about this before.
I'll have the geese driven to the kitchen. Would you care to dine with me tonight? We can finish off a few.
He talks of eating at such a time. You are school superintendent.
What have I done?
You ought to be more careful of your teachers. One of them makes horrible faces when he speaks. If he should make a face like that at the inspector general...
I'll speak to him about it. He says his nurse dropped him as a child. He's smelt of brandy ever since.
You don't need to tell me how to run the post office. I open every letter. Not so much as a precaution, you understand, but out of curiosity.
Well, if by any chance a report or a complaint should come in, don't hesitate for a moment. Lay your hands on it and keep it.
With the greatest pleasure.
Oh, it is the shopkeepers that trouble me. They say that I... Well, heaven is my witness. If I have taken a trifle or so from anyone, it was all done without malice.
Of course.
Oh, that incognito. I expect at any moment the door would burst open and in will...
Mr. Mayor, gentlemen, news.
News.
I know something extraordinary has happened. Marvelous event. At the inn. Oh, it's amazing.
Out with it, dumbbell.
After you told me about your letter, Mr. Mayor, I went looking for my friend Korobkin to tell him.
Yes.
Well, we decided to go to the inn to eat.
Yes.
Korobkin said his stomach was like a vacuum.
Never mind Korobkin's stomach.
Well, we had scarcely entered the inn when we saw a young fellow.
What kind of a young fellow?
A good-looking young fellow, not in uniform.
Not in uniform.
Walking up and down the room like this, with a kind of thoughtfulness.
Yes.
There was something in his face, like I said to Korobkin, something out of the common.
Oh, alas, alas, my heart is in my feet. Sit, gentlemen, sit. It's better we help ourselves to chairs. We shall need them.
Go on.
Well, we asked who he was, and they told me he is an official from the capital, Ivan Alexandrovich Shlistakov. He had been there a fortnight, never leaves the inn, puts everything on the bill, and refuses to pay a farthing.
It's the one. It's the one. I know it. I know it.
Of course, it must be the Inspector General, because he is sharp and he looks into everything. He even came over to see what we were eating.
The Lord have mercy on us. But you say he's been here 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks, and no provisions issued to convicts, and the streets filthy.
What shall we do? Shall we go at once and pay a formal call?
No, no. Huh? It is proper to let the clergy go first, then the businessmen, and then...
No, no, Lord, listen to me. Now, I have been in such scrapes before, and I have managed. First, you, Bobchinsky, run to the police. Tell each to take a broom and sweep the whole street to the hotel. Hurry!
I am already gone, Mayor.
You are, Timmy.
Yes, Mayor. Perhaps we had better all go to him, or some misfortune will fall on
no,
us.
No, no. Put clean gowns on your patients. You'll be all right.
At once. I shall look to her at once.
And what about the rest of us?
You can see that the old barn where the shoemaker lives is broken up. Make it look as if we're planning to build something there. And if it should ever be asked why we never built the chapel at the hospital for which we raised the money 5 years ago...
Yes?
Don't forget to say that the chapel was begun, but burned down.
Burned down. Yes, Mayor, yes, I shall remember.
What about the postmaster and myself?
Seek out the workers for the city. Tell them that should any newly come official ask them if they are content, they should say, yes, Your Honor. Mm. And if any one of them should turn out not to be, tell him I'll give him something to be discontented about later. Now, come, let's go. I shall call on the Inspector General myself.
At the inn, Ivan Alexandrovich Lestakov, the Inspector General, lies stretched out on the bed as he's berated by his servant, Osip.
I tell you, I want to eat. My stomach is rumbling like a regiment of trumpeters.
Well, Osip, I want to eat, too.
It's been 2 months since we left the capital, and you've spent all your money in gambling. We'll never reach your father's home.
Osip, look here. You go down there.
Where?
To the bar. You tell them I want my dinner.
And what good will that do? You know, the landlord said he's not going to give us any more dinner until we pay what we owe him.
Oh, me. See who that is.
Probably the landlord coming to throw us out.
Mm-hmm.
May I talk to Ivan Alexandrovich? I am the mayor, and I should like...
Yes, just a moment. Hey, it's the mayor. He's come here asking about you.
Oh, the devil. It's all over now. That brute of a landlord has gone and made a complaint. Do you suppose he's come to drag me off to jail?
How should I know?
Well, if they take me like a gentleman... And... No, by heaven, I'm hanged if I'll go. What does he mean? How dare he? Am I a nobody to be treated like this? I'll fix him. I'll say to him, how dare you?
The door was open, sir. May I take the liberty of wishing you good morning?
Much obliged, I'm sure.
It's just that it is my duty as mayor to see that every traveler receives the attention he deserves.
Well, it wasn't my fault. I'll pay up. It's the landlord you should be calling on, not me. That bad meat he serves. Oh. And he's half starved me to death.
Oh, really? I hope you do not blame me. But if there is anything wrong, allow me to suggest... Perhaps you'd like some other quarters.
Other quarters? I know what you mean by other quarters. What right have you? Do you know I'm in the government service at the capital?
What a temper. They must have told him about me.
I demand to know what you mean, sir. What you
mean.
Oh,
please. Have pity on me. My wife, my little ones, don't ruin me.
I won't go, I tell you. I absolutely will not go. Even if you have a wife and children.
It's all due to my inexperience. I swear it. The inadequacy of my salary. Huh? The salary the government pays me will hardly buy tea and sugar. And if there were a few bribes, they were mere trifles. A little something for the table, a suit of clothes.
What's all that got to do with anything? I don't know what you're talking about. I'll pay up. It's just that I haven't any money at this moment. I haven't a farthing in my pocket.
If you're in want of any money, sir, or anything else, I'm more than happy to place myself at your disposal. It is my duty to help travelers.
Oh, what a strange turn of affairs. Well, that's kind of you. Lend me some money, then, so I can pay off my bill, eh? 200 rubles would be enough, even less.
Oh, gladly, sir, gladly. Here are exactly 200 rubles.
Thank you.
Don't bother to count them.
I'm extremely obliged. I'll send this back to you from the country as soon as I get there. You're a fine fellow.
What a game.
Now, you're all right.
What a game. Well, thank heavens he's taken it.
Here, Osip, go pay our bill.
Yes, sir.
Well, won't you sit down, Mr. Mayor?
Oh, no, sir. I'd rather stay.
No. Sit down. I must confess you had me worried there for a while, but you're all right.
He's still holding to his incognito. Well, I'll go on pretending I don't know who he is.
Tell me, how did it come that you paid me a visit?
I was merely taking a stroll, and I thought I'd look in at the inn to see if the guests were being well cared for. I'm not like so many mayors who don't look after things at all. I go beyond duty. Oh,
very commendable, very commendable.
And now I've been rewarded by making such an agreeable acquaintance. I say, it seems to me that this room is a little damp, eh? Mm.
Damp, yes. And full of bugs that bite like dogs.
Oh, you don't say. Dear me. To think that our distinguished guest should suffer so. And the room is somewhat dark, isn't it?
Dark as pitch. And the landlord has the delightful habit of refusing me candles.
Might I... No, no, the honor would be too great for one like me.
Hmm? What honor?
No, I can see it's too much to ask.
Ask what?
Might I venture? You see, I have a charming room for you in my house. Cheerful and quiet. But no.
Oh, go on. Continue. Let me hear this.
I can see at once. It would be too much. It's because I have a simple heart that I dare to suggest such a thing.
Are you suggesting that I go to your home and stay with you?
Oh, pray forgive me.
Well, on the contrary, I shall be delighted.
Delighted? Oh, how wonderful. That I should be permitted to show my hospitality to such a distinguished person as yourself. All my life I've dreamt of such a thing, but am I worthy of such an honor?
I shall be very much obliged, I'm sure. You're an open-hearted man, and I like you for it. As for the honor, all I ask for is respect and devotion, and devotion and respect.
If you'll excuse me, Your Excellency, I will at once send word ahead to my wife that we're coming.
And now Gogol's scene changes to the mayor's house again, with his wife Anna and his daughter Maria devouring his fateful note.
Do go on, Mama. What else does he say?
Placing my trust in God, it now seems as if everything will turn out for the best.
Oh!
Make haste and get ready the spare room for our distinguished guest, the room with the yellow paper. Do not look for us at dinner, as we shall eat with the manager of hospitals, but send to the shopkeeper Abdulin for the very best wine. Goodbye, my love. Always your dear husband. Heavens, an inspector general is our guest.
How wonderful.
We must hurry. Go at once and change into your blue frock.
No, Mama, not blue. I want to wear the flowered one.
Flowers, indeed. That's just like you. Never agree with anything I say. You'll do much better in blue, because I intend to wear my straw-colored dress.
But, Mama, that doesn't suit you at all. You need dark eyes for a dress like that.
And who says my eyes are not dark? They're dark as can be. Now do as I tell you.
Yes, Mama.
Hurry before they get here. I must change, too.
Ah, lovely home you have here, Mr. Mayor. And wonderful institution. Simply wonderful, gentlemen. And what I like is the way you let your visitors see everything.
In other towns, if I may be so bold, the authorities are mostly concerned with looking after their own welfare. Here, our only desire is to obtain the favorable attention of the government by our good conduct and constant attention to public duty.
Good, good. And that was a splendid meal we had, too. Splendid. Tell me, do they always eat like that at your charity hospitals? By the way, I noticed there were a lot of empty beds there. Was anything wrong?
Oh, on the contrary, good sir. Most of the patients have gotten well. This is due entirely to our splendid management, watchful care, and excellent organization.
I see. But tell me, have you amusements in town? Clubs and the like, for example, where one might play a game of cards if one wanted to?
No, indeed. Heaven forbid. We never permit such institutions here. Why, I myself have never held a card in my hand.
Yes.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Allow me to present my family, my wife and daughter.
How fortunate I am, madam.
Oh, it is we who are fortunate to have the honor of welcoming so distinguished a personage as yourself.
The pleasure is all mine.
Oh, how kind of you to say so. I beg you, be seated.
It makes me so happy to even stand near you. However, if you insist, I'm delighted to be seated at last.
Will you have some wine? Truly rare bouquet.
Thank you. Just leave the bottle here next to me, eh?
Oh, you pay us great honor. We are but poor country folk.
Well, the country, it has its charms, madam, like yourself. But the capital, there's life for you.
Oh, tell us about it.
Of course. I'm, on the friendliest terms with the chief of my department there. He slaps me on the back and invites me to dine with him constantly. They wanted to make me assistant chief, but I wouldn't hear of it. It's not good enough. When I enter, the porter rushes after me. Allow me, Ivan Alexandrovich, he cries, to brush your boots. And when I... But, gentlemen, why do you all remain standing? Sit down, I beg you.
We know our place.
No. Don't.
Come. Let's have no ceremony. I can't abide it. On the contrary, I prefer to steal through life unobserved.
Oh, pray tell us more, sir, of life in the capital.
Maria.
Oh, no. Delighted. A very fine wine. I know all the leading actresses, of course, and have written all sorts of plays for them, you know. See a good deal of the literary men. Pushkin and I are like brothers. I say, hello, Pushkin, old boy, and he says, well, Ivan, how are you? And all that sort of thing.
And so you're an author, too.
Oh, yes. I've written so many things. Norma, Figaro, wonderful flow of ideas. Do you know the works of Baron Brandius? Or mine.
You don't say.
Are you really Baron von...
I must confess it, yes.
Tell me, did you write Yuria Miroslavsky?
Yes. That little thing I dashed off.
But Mama, it says on the title page, that's by Zagorskin.
Daughter.
There you go again, such a contrary girl.
Of course that's so. Zagorskin did write one book with that title. I wrote another.
There, you see, Maria.
And, of course, everybody knows me in the capital. I go to parties with the French ambassador, dine with counts and princes. People tremble and quiver before me like a leaf. Even the Council of State is afraid of me. I go to the palace every day and expect any time to be made a field marshal.
So it went on into the night, until the drinks that brought it on put a sudden end to it. The next morning brings not only the sun, but also all the town officials in full uniform to pay their respects.
Well, I
think
under the circle.
For the sake of heaven, gentlemen, look sharp. Stand in a circle. Think of it. Even the Council of State trembles for fear of him. Come, put yourselves in military array.
But would it not be better if we took some other action?
What do you mean?
You know. Some token of our individual esteem, a tribute of respect, so to speak.
I might say here is some money that came through the mails and we don't know who it belongs to.
And instead of all of us going to him in a full squadron, it would be better for us to introduce ourselves in private to him, perhaps.
Yes. Luca, you lead the way. Luca, after all, you're the school superintendent.
No. I could never approach anybody, even one rank higher than myself.
Then you, our judge, you start us off. You speak like Cicero.
Impossible. I couldn't think of it. After all, a court is different from...
My head's spinning like a top.
Here he comes.
You stay. It's your duty as a judge.
We will wait outside.
No. I tell you,
Well, in spite of my headache, I think I've had a real good nap. Where do they get such mattresses?
I don't know, sir. Pardon me, sir. I have the honor to present myself, the judge of the district court, the Yapkin Tyapkin.
Sit down. So, you're the judge here, huh?
Yes, sir, Your Honor.
Made a good thing of it, eh?
Well, you know, sir, how it is, sir.
What's that in your hand?
Nothing, sir, nothing.
Be careful. You've dropped it. Well, money. I wouldn't call money nothing.
Oh, sir, please, Your Excellency, I was only...
I'll tell you what, supposing you loan me this.
Of course, by all means, with the greatest pleasure.
The fact is, you see, I spent all my money on the way. I'll send it back to you as soon as I get home.
Oh, no matter, Your Excellency. Such an honor in any case. I shall endeavor to deserve it. You have orders for me, sir?
Well, what orders should I have?
Instructions to the district judge.
Why?
Well,
No, thanks, nothing. Much obliged, just the same.
Thank you. I shall not detain you any longer.
Mm-hmm. Well, very interesting. Not a bad fellow, the judge.
Excuse me, Excellency. I have the honor to introduce myself, Postmaster Shepkin.
Delighted. I like good company. Sit down. Always lived here?
Yes, exactly so, sir.
Well, I like this little town. Not many people, but they're all so generous here.
Yes, sir, I understand, sir.
Yes, I'm glad you agree with me. By the way, a curious thing has happened. I spent all my money on the road. You couldn't lend me 300 rubles, could you?
Instantly, sir, with the greatest pleasure. I'm ready to serve you heart and soul.
Oh, thanks very much.
You have any directions to give the postal department, Your Excellency?
Not today, thank you. Nothing at all.
A million thanks, Excellency. I will not venture to trouble you with my presence any longer.
So, too, was the superintendent of schools, the manager of hospitals greeted until when all had gone.
It's hilarious, Archie. Over 1,000 rubles. Apparently they think I'm somebody else. Now, if I could only find somebody to play cards with me.
Hey, no.
Huh?
Listen to me. There is only one thing to do while all is well.
What's that?
Make our escape. Believe me, it is time.
But I'm having a wonderful time here. Look how they're receiving me. Tomorrow, perhaps.
Please listen to me. Tomorrow may be too late, Ivan Alexandrovich. Now's the time while all is well. We have money now for good horses. They can carry us away before anyone is the wiser. And your father, he'd be angry at you for delaying so long.
Maybe you're right. I suppose we shouldn't cut it too fine.
I'll hurry and find us horses.
Yes, and mail this letter for me while you do so. It tells my writer friend, Tyapichkin, all about what's happened. He might want to write a story about it. If he doesn't laugh himself to death first.
I'll post it. But prepare yourself. We must be on our way soon as I return with the horses.
I'll be ready.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Oh, I beg yours, mademoiselle.
Did I frighten you?
No, I was...
Where were you going?
Oh, I wasn't going anywhere. I thought perhaps Mama was here. But excuse me, you were engaged in important business.
What business could be as important as your eyes, mademoiselle?
Oh, that's only the polite way they talk at the capital.
Please, take a chair.
Well, all right. But I really should be going...
Oh, what a pretty scarf. How I wish I were that scarf, so I might wind myself around your lily-white neck.
What curious weather it is today.
Your sweet lips, mademoiselle, are nicer than any weather.
Oh, what's that that just flew by the window? Was it a magpie?
Better than a magpie, my love, is this kiss.
Oh, how dare you! You must take me for a poor country girl.
Oh, forgive me, mademoiselle. It was my love that made me do it. Love, love. Don't be angry. Look, on my knees, I beg your forgiveness.
And what is the meaning of this pretty scene?
Really, Mama dear, I had no idea.
Love is the meaning, madam. Do not oppose our well-being. Bless a constant love.
Mama dear, I really didn't...
Get up. Get up. The floor is so dirty there.
No, 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 no. On my knees alone, I will hear my fate. Am I doomed to die or to live?
Am I to understand you are making a request for my daughter's hand?
My heart is on fire for Maria. If you don't confirm our happiness...
Really, I must go.
Quiet, stupid girl. Can't you see our guest has condescended to go on his knees to you? Yet you try to run away. You don't deserve such luck. Rise, good sir.
Thank you, madam. Oh, my love.
Your Excellency, Your Excellency, I learn the shopkeepers are coming to protest. You know, I assure you, they are such liars.
Silence, fool. Hold your tongue. Don't you know that Ivan Alexandrovich proposes to us? He asks our daughter's hand in marriage.
Where? When? Oh, you must be mad, my dear. Now, don't mind. Her Excellency, she's a little touched. Her mother,
it's
you know...
It's true, it's true. I'm madly in love with Maria.
But I can't believe it, Your Excellency.
Can't you believe a thing when you're told?
Give us your consent. I'm a desperate man. And if I shoot myself, you'll be tried for murder.
Why, he's kissing her as if he were really engaged.
Now give them your blessing.
May God bless you. What a piece of luck.
The horses are ready, sir.
All right, I'll come directly.
Are you going away so soon upon your engagement?
Yes, I'm afraid I must be off.
But you hinted...
Married.
Of course, but I must go for one day to visit my rich old uncle. I'll be back tomorrow. Goodbye, my darling Maria.
Goodbye, my love.
Do you need anything for the journey?
Well, come to think of it, you could lend me 400.
With pleasure, my son. Here are all the new banknotes.
Oh, wonderful. New money brings new happiness, they say, eh?
Exactly so.
Horses, sir. We must be gone.
Ah, yes, yes. Goodbye, my friends. 1,000 thanks for your hospitality. I've never been so well received as I've been here. And especially, goodbye to you, my angel Maria. Farewell all.
Tomorrow, then?
Yes. Or the day after.
Goodbye, Your Excellency.
Ivan. Goodbye, Your Excellency. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, Anna, here's a conquest we've made, eh? I never dreamt of this. Think of it, Anna. Soon we'll become fine birds, you and I. Where shall we live?
But, Papa... At the capital, of course. How could we possibly stay here any longer?
But, Mama...
I shall become a big official, eh, Anna? On intimate terms with all the ministers and go to court. I shouldn't be surprised if I became a general in time. Eh, Anna?
But, Papa...
I should think so. And I want our house to be the first in the capital. And there'd be such a smell of perfume in the rooms, you can hardly go into them.
Mama!
Congratulations. Oh, can we believe the servant's rumors? Is the report true?
I congratulate you. And may God give you long life.
And to your new relative, too.
May he bless you with numerous grandchildren.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Sit down, sit down.
Tell us, how did it all begin? How did it happen?
He was good enough to make the proposal himself, personally.
And with such refinement. It is simply out of respect for you, Anna Andreevna, he said.
But, Mama, he said that to me.
Be quiet. Don't interfere with things that don't concern you.
I was quite alarmed. I will shoot myself, he cried.
Fancy that.
Where has he gone?
Oh, he has gone away on some very important business.
To see his rich uncle and ask his blessing.
He'll be back tomorrow.
We are planning to move to the capital, you know. It's a little too provincial here.
I have my heart set on being a general.
And if anything unpleasant should happen here, Mr. Mayor, in the course of our business, I hope we might count on your protection.
Certainly, certainly.
Now, husband, don't go burdening yourself with promises already. After all, you can't be expected to concern yourself any longer with small town affairs.
Gentlemen, something most extraordinary has happened.
The
official whom we all took for the Inspector General. He was not the Inspector General at all. It's all here in the letter to his friend, which I opened. A letter making fun of us. Look for yourself.
It's impossible, but it's true.
Heaven have mercy.
The scoundrel. He ought to be flogged.
Bring him back, somebody.
But he took the fastest horses, don't you see?
Oh, my money. 800 rubles.
Yes, mine too.
He's a pretty thing.
But, Mama, there must be some mistake. We're engaged.
Oh, you fool, go away.
I'm killed. I'm dead. I must have vengeance. To think that I, who've always lived by my wits, 30 years in the government, and no single shopkeeper or contractor has got the better of me. I, a first-class swindler, to be swindled.
Who said he was an inspector general in the first place?
You.
No, not me. Yes. You bungling idiot.
Impossible.
You.
Then it must have been this foolish manager of our hospital. This short-bellied toad.
No, it was the postmaster, the dunderhead.
No, it was not. It was Bobchinsky.
Gentlemen.
Now, what does the police department want?
An inspector general sent by the emperor from the capital has just arrived at the inn and demands your immediate presence.
The Inspector General has been another in a series of radio adaptations of the world's most celebrated novels and plays from the bookshelf of the world. It's a lot of fun to listen to your favorite stories and characters come to life on the radio, but your station, camp, or base library is filled with good books which will give you as much, if not more, pleasure in rereading. Adventure stories like Marco Polo or The Odyssey, Charles Dickens' immortal story of David Copperfield, The Three Musketeers by Dumas, Stephen Vincent Benet's Devil and Daniel Webster, The Song of Hiawatha, and many others which are as interesting to read today as they were when they were first written. It's the wise soldier who knows how to make his off-duty time mean something. So why not drop over and see what your library has to offer you? Bookshelf of the World came to you through the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.